Thank you, Bickle family. That was wonderful. Kids, it is time for you to head off to Kids Zone at this time. And Junior Church as well. It is the last Junior Church of 2025. So grade nines, you are also invited to go along to Junior Church because there's going to be Bible trivia, extra prizes, and treats. But no one older than grade nine is allowed to, just so we're clear on that. I have three mission-related items that I want to mention and pray for before we go to the message today. One is House for All Nations. They are congregation, same denomination as us. They meet in the gym at the same time. They used to meet in a different language, and they also meet in English now. But Pastor Obadiah told me this morning, if you saw a table on your way in with some goodies on it, and you smelt, does that smell like kimchi? Yes, it was kimchi. I don't know if that's going to be there, but so if you would like to help them with a fundraiser, they have a mission that they go on, that they're going to be going on to. I was going to say Belcarra. It's not Belcarra. It's a First Nations community that starts with a B farther up north. Bellacoola. Thank you. That's the one. That's where they're going to be heading to in summer, so they're already doing some fundraising for that. So if you would like to contribute towards that, you can buy some goodies and pass those along, like the Bickle family. Look at that. You guys are the ones that get some of the goodies this morning. So sweet.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. And if you can put my first slide of the sermon up with Akira on. There we go. Kira Tom, it's great to have Danica back. And Akira is going to be going on a mission as well. In fact, is she tomorrow? That's right. Tomorrow, a long plane ride, not really from Vancouver. She's already in the UK. But you can see where it is in Thailand. They're going to be in a place called Trang, Thailand. And it is there's instability in that country a lot. And so we want to be praying for her. And so we wanted to let you know specifically that she is going to be going out to tomorrow for an assignment there. And also, just found out this morning, Charlotte Lee is also part of our congregation. And I know a while ago, I helped fill out, she was doing an application to go and do helping with dentistry in a mission organization. And so she's going to be leaving for Kenya for a number of weeks now. And so we want to be praying for each of these people as they are out in different parts of the world living and working on mission. So let us pray together this morning. Oh Lord, I am reminded today that you went and came on the ultimate mission. You left the glories of heaven to come as we saw enacted for us this morning, to come among a people who desperately needed rescuing. And Lord, we thank you that you were sent, but we thank you that you continue to send people on your mission. Lord, we thank you for House for All Nations, for the mission that you have put upon their hearts to work among our First Nations people and to build bridges, relational bridges, and also, Lord, to live on mission for you, that others might experience the life-changing power that you came to give us in Jesus Christ. We also, Lord, thank you for Kira and for her team with YWAM that will be going out very shortly to Thailand and working and serving there. And Lord, I pray that you would really equip them with everything they need for doing your will, which can seem like, no, we can never pack enough. But when we go with you, and you are the one who says, I will be with you, you are the one who is saying you are the fully sufficient one, that you are the one who goes ahead and before, that your hand of protection would be upon them. Lord, that you would be moving hearts and lives around them and in them that they might be able to speak and also to embody the good news. And Lord, we also thank you for Charlotte. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given her that she is taking advantage of, Lord, to go and to serve in Kenya, to do dental work there among people, Lord, who I'm sure are looking forward to being able to have the attention and care that they need. And we pray, Lord, that you would equip her, that you would provide for her, and Lord, that you would affirm her that this is exactly the mission that you have called her on. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you this morning, and we want to support them, Lord, in our prayers in the days and weeks and months to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this Advent season, if you have been with us, you will know that we have been looking at the Gospel of John, his unusual but wonderful version of the Christmas story, the coming of Jesus Christ that goes back all the way to the beginning, in fact, before the beginning of creation itself. And the Gospel writer John uses actually very simple words and images, but conveys deep life-changing truths and news about God and about us. And his claim is not simply that God exists, but that God is the kind of God who came among us as one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And if this is true, it is by far the best thing that has ever happened, for it means that our deepest human longings for connection, and we all have them, those deepest longings are the very longings that he came to fulfill, to reconnect us with our Maker. Well, I want to read this morning not only the verses that I'm going to focus on, but the previous verses that we've looked on in the previous weeks. And so we're going to read John chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. 1 to 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Well, I want to begin by looking at what and who is this true light that John is talking about, and what is the light that he gives? Well, John continues the language and metaphor of light to tell us something of fundamental importance about Jesus. I mean, light is, after all, essential to sustaining our very lives, and for a number of us, also sustaining our moods, especially in this dark season. Later in this gospel, in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus will make this connection between light and life very clear when he stands up at a great public event in the temple and announces to everyone who will listen, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the interpretive guide, I call it, to what John is talking about in this poetic-like introduction to the gospel is the story of Jesus, as John tells us in the rest of the gospel. In John's introduction, he provides us both Jesus' backstory as well as the basic themes that marked Jesus' life and ministry, themes that are represented in the images and metaphors of light and life. He uses the ordinary things in life to convey the extraordinary. John introduces Jesus not only as a light, but the true light. True, that word in Greek can mean either A, what is real and genuine, and it can also mean what is ultimate or complete. And in its immediate context and then in the context of this gospel as a whole, it is clear that John has both meanings in mind. Because there were and are always those who masquerade, pretend as light. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 to 15, he points out that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And it is not surprising then, Paul goes on to say, if his servants, that is Satan's servants, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. We live in a time where deep fakes are becoming ever more prevalent. Scams. Yes, you get an email that looks like it's from me asking for gift cards, it's a scam. Those who claim to give the light, but distort and even contradict the light of God's word. What about human nature? Are we fundamentally good? Or are we flawed? About evil. Oh, evil is just those people out there, and if we eliminate them, it'll all be good. False. About healthy relationships. Well, you need to look out for yourself first. Scams. Jesus and his words are real and genuine truth. And Jesus, as we saw earlier in this chapter, is also the ultimate source of light and life. The one, John said, was God and through whom all things were made that have been made. Which is also why he is the real, genuine light that gives light to everyone. You know, sometimes we say, I was really in the dark about that. Well, that can mean multiple meanings. And to give light can be multiple things. To give light can mean to illuminate inwardly, to give the light of knowledge and insight for living. Psalm 19, verse 8, for example, says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, that is bright, giving light to the eyes. Also, it gives the light of hope and renewed strength are some of the other images. And commentator F.F. Bruce in his commentary says, the illumination, though, that the evangelist, that is John the evangelist, has in mind is that spiritual illumination which dispels the darkness of sin and unbelief. And it was by coming into the world that the true light provided this supreme illumination for all without distinction. And so it also means not only to illuminate, but to shed light upon, to make visible. And so we can speak of being either exposed by the light or saved by the light. John chapter 3, John will talk about, he will say, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The good side and the challenging and the, you know, the judgment, the salvation and the judgment side of light. And in John's gospel, it is repeatedly the case that the light shines on all and then forces a distinction between the light lovers and the light haters, because we're exposed. The light shines upon every person, whether they see it or not. And the true light that gives light to everyone, John says, was coming into the world. And then he says, he was in the world. You see, here for the first time, we are told the story of the appearance of the Word, the true and ultimate light coming in human form. He came into the world he created, the New Living Translation puts it. And John will later say in verse 14, Eugene Peterson puts it this way in The Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. It's speaking of his incarnation. It's a big word that really means coming in the flesh. Flesh and blood. And I think this is taking on greater significance than ever in a world flooded with virtual reality, right? I mean, I remember in 1988, there was this wonderful young lady that I wanted to be closer to. And the problem was I was living in Manitoba, and she was living in BC. And we communicated old style. We wrote letters back and forth to one another, waited for the delivery to happen. You know, it was so much better when I finally moved here. Incarnated, if you will, in here. In verses 10 to 12 in here in John, we have the great unveiling then of the divine, the ultimate purpose for which the Word, the light, came into the world. The world refers not only to the physical universe that he created. In verse 3, John spoke of these all things, what we would say the universe, and it can mean that. But far more often in the Gospel of John, the world refers to the world of humanity, to people in the world. And John almost always uses it, some would say he always uses it as people in the world in rebellion against God. And so John chapter 7, verse 7 says, Jesus says, the world hates me because I testify that its works are evil. The world in rebellion against God and his purposes. And indeed, no sooner does John tell us the wonderful news of God's coming in the flesh, the incarnation, to the very world and people that he created, than John delivers the most tragic news of all. The world, though it owed its very existence to him, failed to recognize him. You ever fail to recognize somebody? This was last year, I was in the local Starbucks, and I thought I saw Bruno. Bruno Feldison. And some of you don't even know who that is, but if you have seen the great Canadian baking show, the French judge on there, Bruno, who likes lots of butter, that's the guy. And then I thought, no, it can't be. Oh, and then I was really caught. Is it? So I didn't go, you know, I didn't say anything. And then I went back and I Googled, and it's like, he's living in Vancouver. It was Bruno, but I didn't quite sure if I recognized him or not. Now, when it comes to Jesus coming into the world, you know, it may not be so unusual that people fail to recognize him, because Jesus came in such humble circumstances. I mean, could God really come among us? And yet it's not as though humanity should be totally unaware and ignorant of our Creator. God has given the gift of general revelation to in creation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare, they announce the glory of God. The earth, the world shows forth the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. They're communicating. And Paul in the book of Romans will say, what can be known about God is plain to them. That is human beings, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You know, when we want to know about past peoples, we usually send archaeologists out. and they excavate and they find stuff from the past, sometimes writings even, that tell us about these past peoples. How much more God has put into all of creation, signs, indicators of not only a great intelligence, right, but one who the very fact that we are able to understand it wants to be in relationship with us. You know, and in a way, Jesus kind of is like, maybe God is like the moon. You think about, and Jesus, before Jesus came, we knew about him from a distance. Like before anyone ever went to the moon, we only knew about the moon really from a distance. And suddenly on account of Jesus, we knew God in a direct, a new and exciting way, just like those first explorers to the moon brought back real, genuine samples. Of course, this advance in our relationship with God did not come about because some new human technology, but through God's decision to take on human form, to make himself known and available to us in Jesus Christ. And yet, John says, the world of human beings did not recognize the true light. And John says in verse 11 that when he came to that which was his own did not receive him. His own. Who were his own? And how poor was the reception? I mean, his own is a phrase which reappears later in John 19, verse 27, where the beloved disciple takes the mother of Jesus. Jesus is dying on the cross, and he kind of hands over care for his mother to the beloved disciple. And it tells us that the beloved disciple takes the mother of Jesus to his own home, to his own. The very people who were eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come were his own. And each Passover, they would leave the door to the temple open, and every Jewish family would make sure that they had an extra seat set at their table because the Messiah might come. Talk about a people who were anticipating, waiting, ready for him. His own he came to, and they did not recognize him. They did not receive him. And I was thinking, well, was it just a poor reception? You know, like, they didn't realize how great he was, and they should have rolled out the red carpet, but they didn't. So it was just like a poor reception that he got. No red carpet welcome. Or was it a non-reception? That is, no, we're too busy, we're unavailable. Jesus told a parable about this great wedding banquet, and the invitations went out, and they, I cannot come, I just got married, I bought a cow, and they give all kinds of excuses. And Jesus is, sometimes we're just too busy. Maybe they were busy. Or was it actually rejection? You know, in our day, you can be ignored, ghosted, blocked. I was reading not too long ago in the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 8. And he's got this line about, he's giving Ezekiel a tour of the levels of rejection that they have had against God. God is taking him through. And he keeps saying, son of man, Ezekiel, do you see this? And he gives him different examples, and then he says, I'm going to show you even worse. And then he takes him right into the temple. He says, do you see these things? They're doing even more detestable than this. And finally it gets, and they are bowing down in the temple, but they are bowing down away from God's throne to the sun god. And they are, we would say, mooning God. Their butts are pointed right at God's temple, at his throne. Do you see the level of rejection that people can go to? Ezekiel? In fact, it can be so hostile. I told you last week about at the Gospel Writers banquet, one of the testimonies that he had said for years, I will never go to church. I hate it. And then he said, now I go to church. But what was the level of hostility? And spoiler alert, if we read to the end of this gospel, we will find that people will shout for the true light to be crucified. Basically, they say, go to hell. How often these various forms of rejection, of poor reception and rejection, are repeated. And all of them are a non-reception. And it's like, what a waste. The true ultimate light came to his own, rejected. But John's overview of the Jesus story, thankfully, does not end here. He tells us that to all who did receive him, oh, there were some people who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And verse 13 will explain in summary what Jesus explains in more detail to a religious leader called Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Briefly, what is being offered, to whom, and how to get in on this offer. First, what? What is he is talking about here is spiritual birth. Born again is the language, or born from above is what he will use in his language with Nicodemus. By the Spirit of God. And John is ruling out that no one can be born into the family of God. You know, my grandfather was a Christian and my parents were Christians, and so I'm a Christian. It's like, no, that's not how it happens. That may be really benefit, but no, that's not it. Not any human beings. You can't like being born into it. Or, by nature of a human decision to have children. And he's like, no, that's not how it happens either. And as Jesus will explain to Nicodemus in chapter 3, humans can reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit can give birth to spiritual life, a life that God himself has. And he will go on to say, when we confess our sins of rejection, and acknowledge Jesus to be who he claims to be, we open our lives to God's Spirit, who forgives us of our sins. He remakes us, reorients our hearts, opens our eyes to spiritual truth, to see God where we were blind before, so that we truly become children of God. We are part of the family of God. Who can get in on this? And John says, those who believe in his name. Whoever believes. Can't get more inclusive than that. Well, how do you get into the family of God to become God's children? Well, to enter God's family, a person must receive him, the true light, for who he is. That's what it means to believe in his name, in his character, to agree with the claims that he is saying, to acknowledge and embrace those claims. And it requires placing one's complete trust and faith in him. And as the gospel story unfolds more fully, we find that normally one receives Jesus by faith and openly declares one's allegiance to him. There was a song we sang earlier, and there was a line in there. Here at your feet, I lay my life. That's what it's about. It's a public profession of faith, and that so often is accompanied by baptism. Baptism, this symbol of immersion into death, our death, but then being raised to new life, which is what God does in us. The old person that was in rebellion against God, dead and gone. The new person who loves God, who is delighted in him and his ways. That's the new person, a child of God. So there are two points that are specifically emphasized then in these verses. One is the astonishing fact that the Word, who was God and who was with God and who was God, came to us as one of us in order to rescue us from sin and death and reconnect us to God himself. That's a very important point. And the other point Even more astonishing fact is that when the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood, so many wanted to have nothing to do with him. And John is concerned that we miss neither the wonder of God's coming nor the tragedy of the rejection that he received from far, far too many. And so, three simple but important points. One, good reception is essential. There's various forms of non-reception. Good reception is essential. In our relationship with him, this life-changing relationship with Jesus, and it happens as we open the door of our hearts and lives to him. And good reception is also essential to grow. So it's essential to become a child of God, and it's essential to grow in our relationship with him and to be able to serve him with our whole hearts by staying in tune and in touch with him. It's essential. And thirdly, good reception needs to be nurtured. I remember a cartoon. I couldn't find it, but I remember this cartoon. And there's a little girl, and she's praying, and she is on her knees and by her bed, and her mother is seeing her, and she's going like this. Mother doesn't quite know exactly, and she says, "Ruthie, what are you doing?" And she says, "Trying to get better reception." Well, she was onto something. Prayer is one of the ways that we do indeed connect to God. And she was recognizing, I need better reception, trying to connect to God. And prayer ultimately should be a conversation. It's not just talking one-sided to God, but it's pausing also to listen. Maybe you have a question to God, or you're pouring out your heart to him on something. You know what? God wants to speak back. Often he will give an impression in our mind. Sometimes he will bring a verse or a story or an experience back to mind to speak to us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to sustain us. And especially the more that we get to know his word, that is what he brings back to mind, and he uses that to guide and direct us. I had that just this week. Remember, you know, a story suddenly comes back to mind. I turn to that story, and it's like, yeah. And I see it with new significance, how it applies to something that I've been praying about. To meditate on God's word and to obey his word. And so it needs to be nurtured, just like a good relationship to become better needs to be nurtured, and we want to do that. And just a closing analogy, you know, living as we do in the northern half of the globe, it's probably no surprise to you that we are nearing the shortest day of the year. We call it the shortest day. Days are all the same length, but the light is the shortest. In fact, sunrise tomorrow morning will be at 8 a.m. Ugh, it's going to get a little worse. 8:04, I think, is going to be the worst day. Okay, and sunset, 4:13. The good news is it's not getting any earlier than that. That stays the same, but we still, you know. It's half the light. On the shortest day, that's half the light of the longest day. So I use my SAD light, seasonally affected disorder light. I have that with me each breakfast, and as I read my Bible and pray, because I need more light. And it's a helpful analogy for me that I'm doing both. I'm getting the physical light, and I'm getting the spiritual light. And so it's a good habit to practice. I need both, and it needs to be nurtured. And so you have an opportunity to embrace the one who came, took all of this great mission to embrace us. I want to invite the worship team to come up, and as they're coming, let's pray. Lord, we sang earlier today, "Here at your feet I lay my life." And Lord, whether that is for the first time or whether it is doing it again and again, Lord, we come to a time, often as your Spirit works in our hearts, that is the response that we want to make to you. We want to dedicate and rededicate ourselves to you anew because we have seen your glory, the glory that came in such humility as we saw enacted for us earlier this morning. We thank you that you long for us to have good reception with you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that in this season we will also be sensitive to your Spirit's leading, that we might also be able to help others to get connected to you, that they too might find the joy, that deep human longing for connection, that it is made to be fulfilled in you. We thank you and praise your name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You had some improvising to do as well, so we could have the kids' performance as well this morning. It has been good to meet together. Amen. Just before give the closing blessing, just to let you know, our after-service prayer team, today we have Betty and Shirley are going to be up here just on your right-hand side, and you are welcome to come and to pray together with them. And we are also looking for people with a heart for prayer to join our post-service prayer team. And so if you are interested or you have any questions, Catherine Clausen, Catherine's give a wave. There we go. She would love to be able to talk with you. Maybe you're just like, oh, I'm interested. What exactly? Do I get any training for this? This is the person to talk to. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.